God, hallelujah. Well, I said we're going to have a testimony, so we'll let Mike and Darlene come up and share with us, Annette. So, you know, Darlene, you might want to get that microphone over there, too. That might be... Yeah, you might have to. I think we ought to give her one. I don't know. Maybe that's not...
I got four pages here, but don't worry. I'm a detailed person, I guess.
Well, our testimony, first of all, is to give glory to God. That's why we're here. That's what we want to do. We're not bragging on Him. We're bragging on His goodness. Amen.
We are bragging on Him, yeah.
Well, not on us. Exactly.
Well, one of the scriptures, I just wrote this down. This is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. It's Psalm 118. That was something we always stick with. But I'm going to take it back to December 29th, 1978. Some of you weren't even born, right? Yeah, but anyway, that's when I bought the mill. And when I'm going to define this, the mill is 8.8 acres. We own a pond, stream, a 175-year-old building, a stone grist mill. And, you know, needs work, but it's got a lot of history, a lot of stuff inside. But we, over the years, we actually tried to sell it a couple times, just haphazardly, didn't work out. But new down the road here, in the last probably 10 years, we've been really thinking about selling this. Mm-hmm. And we go and mow. We trailer the mowers down there, mow, and I say to her, you better enjoy the scenery because we're going to rush right back home.
And that's what we would do.
A couple of times we fished there, but, I mean, there's bass and pickerel. And our son, I let him fish where I was going to go, and he caught this big bass. You know. And anyways, hanging on his wall. But no, I'm glad he got it though, really. We didn't settle yet. So what I said at the offering, as long as you saw it's already prospered. So we've been seeking the Lord about this, I think, earnestly the last 4 or 5 years, 3, 4 years. Mm-hmm. And we've been talking about selling it. We inquired of the Lord. We really wanted to, but yet it just didn't line up. Didn't come together. How do you do this? And I had not been in that building maybe for 20 years. I don't know.
And it's a unique property. It's not just the, a house with 8 acres. No, it's got ponds. It's got a historic building on it. Okay. And so, you know, there was going to be a way to do it. And we were seeking God as to how to do that. Yeah.
And, we have a lot of assets, so sometimes you like more cash flow. So I'm down there mowing. This is June 17th, 2023. And I'm just inquiring the Lord, mowing, praying, and it's like he said to me, I said, you know, sometimes real estate is not real liquid, but he said it is with an auctioneer. So now I had a piece of this thing. He's talking to me about auctioneers. Instead of realtors. And, you know, that helped me. But yet I said to her, man, you know, you do an auction and you don't sell it. It's a stigma. You know, something that nobody shows up or, you know, you got that thinking in your mind. Whereas with a realtor, it's out there for a period of time. But we had this direction. So we went to Myrtle Beach that fall in October and we were praying over it and still did not have a set direction. But last fall, we also went to Myrtle Beach again and we knew it was time. I think we actually knew it was time, and we knew that God was going to give us a direction. This whole thing is step by step, the faithfulness of God. So I, like I said, I hadn't been in that building for years, and frankly, I didn't want to go in the summertime because I don't know what's in there. You know, there was other things. I had a cataract surgery coming up in December, so I had a piece about wait till the new year, and then step by step, we're going to do this. So, so we need to do an auctioneer. So years ago, I'm a member of the Appraisal Institute. That's where I have my designations for my business, my appraisal designations. So we had this guy probably during COVID that did a webinar with us, an auctioneer. I'm not going to mention any names, but I was impressed. This guy advertised up and down the East Coast. He made it sound so great. So in January, I called him, and I also wanted to call another guy. The other guy had said, I got the flu. Can I call you next week? I said, yeah. The first guy comes out right away, and, you know, he's impressive. He can do this, he can do that. And but I think Darlene had a sense of that prior to me knowing that it wasn't definitely not right. Mm-hmm. And something just didn't smell right. They are in the spirit, you know. So the other guy comes out. I'll tell you what it is. Longenecker Heise auctioneer, Joel Heise. Christian guy. He's involved with God's Missionary Church. He's just a great guy. And he comes out, and actually, that day we found out about the first auctioneer. We definitely did not want to go with them because some of the things I thought didn't smell right turned out to be true. So we signed a contract. Yeah, God protected us. I mean, I have this scripture, and I can't get into all that, but God's not going to let us go off the cliff. I have scripture for that in Psalm chapter 18. So he protected us because just that could have been disastrous. So we signed his contract on January 24th, and about a week later, we pulled aside, went to North Carolina for a few days. We're praying over it. And this is an important part. We got ourselves a document between she and I and the Lord, a covenant agreement. Taking time to pray over it, getting scriptures, writing it out. And this is, we claim what we want in the name of Jesus. This is Brother Hagin's thing, how God taught him to prosper. And we bound the devil and his spirits. And then we loosed our angels, sent forth the harvesting angels. And I can tell you some examples here. We said, go ministering spirits. This is all in writing. Later on, we came home, finessed it, signed it, prayed it, signed it. This is a covenant between us and God. Go ministering spirits, harvesting angels, cause the money, the harvest, to come to us. He had given me scripture that this is not just la-di-da. This is your harvest. I had scripture in Ecclesiastes on that. So go ministering spirits, influence numerous bidders, and especially we wanted three bidders with cash with an extreme desire. Not only one's going to get it, but they're out there. Go get them. Go ministering spirits, minister for good in the advertising. Our son Cole had done a drone thing a number of years ago, and he had this great shot with a round top Blue Mountain in our property. So I said to the drone photographer that came out, can you do this? And he nailed it. He really nailed it. But, you know, the pressure I'll tell you that in a minute. We sent forth the angels to minister for good in the advertising, the open house, the pre-sale, the auction, the weather, the sale and the settlement process, and anoint the auctioneers in all aspects, and go ministering spirits, spotlight and showcase for good the advertising, the property itself, put a good light on it. You know, some days if your case sera, what will be, you're letting dollars on the table, things just slip by. Talking about the advertising, he says, we want to do the drone shot. And there was still some snow, and it was kind of melting. I was not sure. And the pressure of, we get the right thing. But, you know, the angels did it. We had phenomenal advertising.
The picture came out really neat. And with the snow and the ice, it showed all the ponds. I don't think you would have saw that hadn't been that day. So the timing was just, it was just amazing. That's God.
Beyond us. But we had spent the time up front and wrote out this covenant. I can't emphasize enough. Going up front, getting the scriptures, spending the time, getting the detail, and just not throwing up a scattershot prayer. We were very specific. And you know what? Because by doing this, and I, like I said, I word different scriptures, and I'm not going to get into all that, but why does that influence angels? Psalm 105, 103:5, bless the Lord Jesus, angels that are mighty in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word, you know. We're sending them out there. So, it wasn't just random. And, you know, like I said, I owned this since the end of 78, and we got married, and it's our property, and it is a nice property, but we just felt like we couldn't enjoy it to the fullest. The neighbor has, you know, he swims, his dog's in the pond, he's up there, he put a food lot for deer, which, you know, we said he could.
Tree stand.
He was on that property more than we were. And he was sweating this sale, because there was a person he did not want to get, and I'm not going to, but it turned out all right. So we stood our ground. We had this covenant, a covenant of prosperity. And now realize an auction, like I said, you're not with a realtor. You're coming down. We signed the contract. Man, we're at ease, and this is great. But then there's the next step, and you feel this pressure coming at you. So with an auction, you're coming to a focal point of one day, 1 hour, and this is it. They slam the gavel. Now, you could not sell it, but then what do you do? Because people think, oh, that's only what it's worth. But God said auction. So that's what
and
we
now
did.
Now the big sign is up, and everyone's driving by, and they're putting it in the paper, and we're on the line now. Okay, exactly. Yeah,
I drove by there one day, and I thought, there's signs on my property. Oh, yeah, that's right, we're selling this. It's surreal. I mean, when you own something that long, but it was a, you know, it was an investment property. So then on March 10th, the auctioneer wanted to come out with a realtor. The realtor had to look at it because to put it in the multi-list, you have to have a number. It could be any number. It doesn't mean it's a sale reserve or anything. But they wanted to see what they could do, and then it goes advertising like on Zillow and all that. So he's out there, and he, I want to walk the property. Okay, fine. And they're walking around and say, this is not what we expected. This is kind of wet. Where can you build? I said, well, here or there. I have a perk test. It's not the, you know, but so they're
and kinda, that was amazing too.
Oh, yeah.
How long ago did we have that perk test?
Oh, I did a perk test in the 80s and then again redid it in the 90s. Now I'm thinking this is still valid, I think. I called the office and the guy says, oh, yeah, I used to work for that engineering company. I'll come out. And he came out that day, recertified it.
Recertified it.
I mean, God, the goodness of God. She had office hours, and she's praising God when I told her. But so we're out there walking the property and say, well, man, I don't know. Let's put it in there for 150, 175, and maybe we can sell it for 150 to 2.25. I don't know. I said, we're not selling it for 200. Do we cancel now? I didn't want to cancel it. I wanted to get their attention, you know. Now, the realtor, he's going by. The mill is right on the road. They built them close back those days, 1850. The realtor says, man, this would be some house. The auctioneer, and again, I recommend Joel Heisey wholeheartedly, but we had to pull him along.
Wet blankets.
The auctioneer said, nah, it's too close to the road. He saw nothing of the building.
No, they didn't see any value in the building.
And as an appraiser, I didn't know how to think of this. What's the building worth? This building has, on the plaster from the 1800s, Jay Weidman, so many bushels, so many bags, pencil in the plaster, different things like that, all kind of equipment inside, the old mill equipment. But anyway, so I thought, well, it should have some value. But so, you know, here we are. Let's schedule the open house. And we were initially going to be on vacation in North Carolina again. And in our spirits, we knew we got to be home.
Yep, don't go.
And so we lost that time. We hadn't protected anything. But because the auctioneer could not be at the open house. It was a Saturday, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was a Saturday. It was 80 degrees. It was a really nice day.
It was that really hot Saturday.
So Cole, our son Cole and I did this. Otherwise, he would have sent his Joel's brother, and he's a great guy too. We met him yesterday to look at another investment property, and he just doesn't know about our property. He wouldn't. So we're there, and I know the history. I'm telling Cole, we were so busy, I couldn't even catch him. I mean, just so busy, all these people showed up. Mm-hmm. But before that, I said to her, and we said, if nobody shows up, we're thinking nobody might show up, we're not going to lose our joy.
That's right.
So we had to stay on our faith and our confession.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this is something God has dealt with me over the years. Our job as Christians, we must walk in joy and not take the care. That's not a luxury. That's our job.
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, so we're so busy showing this. And, the building has value, maybe an Airbnb or venue, what have you. But you could probably put at least $100,000 in just to get it where you need to get it. But
easy.
So.
Mm-hmm. It has three floors. So the lower level, the gentleman that owned it prior to Mike had a office in the bottom. He had a bait shop. And then on the second floor, well, he actually took out all the old windows. The old windows are still in the building, and he used concrete blocks and filled all the windows up. And so Mike put a new roof on that, and that's what saved that metal roof on that building. So the inside is intact.
It's dry.
And so, yeah. So there's a lower level where he had the office. Then you come up, and this is the main mill works. And then there's a third level. And the stairs are still there. So people, and Mike worked a week cleaning that out so it would look more presentable when the people
sleep
came.
In the floor.
And it paid off.
I had wood in there from 1979. I moved about 10, 16-foot 4x4s, hemlock, and I'm not letting this here. hanging out over the trailer. It's like, but yeah, you know, you realize that's the week of the sale. You better get on it. And it was good.
It was well worth right. doing that because it gave the people an advantage of really seeing the building. Because we saw that value in the building.
The first floor, it was an absolute mess. The guy had the bait shop and drop ceiling. And I had cleaned this out already, but it's no use unless you rip everything out. The insulation is falling. And I'd say this, and didn't faze people. I don't know. I was concerned, but didn't seem to faze them. So we were so busy showing this thing. And then Cole, our son, and Cliff Zeller. Here's a shot. Some of you saw this, but the Wandering Woodsman on YouTube. He's got 71,000 followers, and over a couple of days, there were 12,000 hits on our thing.
They went into the building and walked around, and he videoed the building, and they went down in the lower level.
51 minutes of...
Yeah.
The auctioneer said he watched as long as he'd stay awake. Which I don't blame him, but...
And quite a few people said to me, "Hey, we watched the video on the mill." I said, "Did you really?" "Yeah, we were really interested." There was a lot of people wanted to see the inside of the building. You know, they had never been in there before.
Yeah.
But, I mean, just God worked this out with Cliff and their friendship and how we could get that. I mean, we were just...
Yeah, Cole and Cliff do a lot of YouTube. They go into caves and they're... And Cliff is, you talk to him, like we've taken him to dinner a few times with Colin. He's like, not backwards, but he's just, but when he gets that camera on, he's another person. He titled this thing, Secret Tunnel Found. Now I know about this. But it's like, I'm telling Cole all the history, and then all of a sudden it's all his doing, you know, but that's fine.
But there is a tunnel underneath the building.
Yeah,
and it goes underneath the road.
And years ago, during Prohibition, there was a distillery, commonly known as a still, under the road. And so they were out here Friday night again. There's another segment coming where they actually went in deeper. So it's an amazing thing. But sale day, April 11th. You know, we had a guy from the Carolinas say to me. And Cole said, make sure you talk to him. So I did on the opening day,
open house.
And the guy said, well, if I get this, you get a free week at my beach house in Carolina Beach.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, like-kind exchange here, you know. And he was on this. I thought, he said, I'm going to bid online because you can bid by phone or online. And also, we never saw him again. So, you know, people have a lot of smoke in them. So the day of the sale, and I'm not criticizing the auctioneer at all. Again, he's in business. He knows what he's doing. Les Longenecker, they're partners, and Les is kind of a plain guy. Oh, by the way, the realtor that was there, he's a great guy. He's a lay minister at a Dunkard Brethren Church. So, I mean, we're dealing with nice people here.
Well, he was having revival meetings that week.
Yeah, he couldn't be to the sale.
Come.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the day of the auction... He calls me. Am I on the right page here? The morning of he said he put up the sign, auction today, and he calls, like, can I come over and drop some data? And I knew what this was about. And I said, yeah, you know, because I said, we're not selling for $200,000. And he said, I just want to show you this data, these sales we did. And I said, okay, but I know there's money out there chasing this property.
He set things in motion.
I didn't get real spiritual with him, but I had kept my thing. And I think he thought we were out there.
Well, I have to interject something here because I said, kindness matters. Kindness matters. Don't get upset with him when he brings this paperwork. We have an agreement here, and this is where we're going with this. And we can't let these, you know, the devil bring something in to just set us back. Because this is sale day. Okay?
And this is step by
pressure's
step
on.
Yeah. And, so, you know, we had said about, well, first let me tell you this. He gives me this data. I didn't even look at it. I put it on.
Don't look at
it.
Exactly.
Because
exactly.
I had seen some data over the years. I'm an appraiser. I have all this, I have MLS and all that. But you know, and then we had prayed about angels getting the weather place, you know. So here is sale day. Forecasting heavy rain, high winds.
That week. Yeah, Friday was going to be the worst day. A deluge of rain, okay.
And
then, like, okay.
Joel calls me and says, well, I might bring some generators. We can do it inside. I said, there's no electric. I'll try and bring some lights and this and that. And so
we had spoke that.
Yeah. And
we're going to have the weather.
And how many people do you hear say, well, you can't do anything about the weather? At the market, I hear that. I'd like to slap them, but Jesus said differently. And we held on it. But we also said, you know, if everybody's talking rain and we can't stop it, we're still going to come out on top. We still had our faith, but I'll tell you, it didn't rain a drop.
Didn't rain a drop, not
and,
a drop.
And we had it outside then. So talk about resisting pressure, though. We got an auctioneer saying, oh, that morning he said to me, well, I think I can get 200, but not three. Not three. I didn't tell you what we got. So, and you know, I'm pulling this. We're pulling, our faith is strong, but we just got to resist the temptation to weaken the weather, the auctioneer.
So let me say one thing. I'll tell you what it means to have a leader.
Amen.
A leader. Honestly, when the chips are down, you need somebody to keep you strong. Amen. And I knew I had it in him and the Lord, of course, you know, number
one.
We
do it for each other.
But, you know, it really helped that day. Honestly, that afternoon... I went over to Jubilee, walked around. I'm just enjoying myself, praising God. I just had to have some therapeutic shopping. If you want to call it that, honestly, I did. Because it was like, okay, here we go, Lord.
You can have a lot more now.
Okay.
No, well, but yeah, when I'm down, she keeps me up and so forth. And same. But I'm big on written covenants with God. Call them petitions, call them whatever. I do this because you can hook into that. Yeah, I said this and we did this and I had this date and we know we did it. You got, you know, you faith in God. And Billy, it's his faith. He said, have faith in God, have the God kind of faith. We can't take credit for this.
Nope.
But, you know, he's given us the word.
Yeah, and he gave us the tools on how to do it and we had to walk it out.
But, pieces of the puzzle, you know, he said to me about over 2 years ago, this is your harvest, specifically harvest. And then the word about the auctioneer. And previously I mentioned Ed, this is 10 years ago, Saturday morning, I'm going to be going down to the mill to mow. And God said to me, you be there at 10 o'clock. Somebody's going to come and talk to you about the mill. And I thought, am I just hearing things? It doesn't hurt. So I'm there. I think I was just cleaning up or something. 10 o'clock comes and goes, and I thought, well, I missed this. 10:20, this guy shows up. I said, Lord, he said he was late. The guy shows up, pulls in the road, and he's so big, and he couldn't really get out when we talk, and he's an expert on mills and this and that. In fact, he saw the YouTube, and he said, I'm going to be there. I don't think he was. But so that was like, oh, are you baiting me? What's going on with this? This is no sale, but yet you learn you're hearing from God. So... then, okay, here's the sale, 5 o'clock, here we are. It's not raining, thank God. But like Brother Hagin said, whenever you, it's done when you do this, and then just say, thank God it's working.
Yeah.
But opening, you know, the Les Longenecker said, my brother gave me an opening bid of $100,000. He said, now Les told me later, his brother said, that's going to go for $300,000. Les said, no. Les is the other auctioneer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this is what we're doing. So, it seemed like a long time, and like you were standing just like this, and we're standing. I'm keeping smiling, and then we get 125 bid. I think now that seemed like eternity, and maybe it was only 10 seconds. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, oh well, but I kept smiling. I purposely kept smiling.
Yeah.
I'm looking around because there's a guy over here showed
Lord.
A lot of interest, and I'm looking over here. And different things.
Right, because before the sale, this guy standing there, he came and he said, I'm bidding for my friend in Arizona, I have a check.
Yeah, he's got a certified check. He's telling the auctioneer.
Then we have an older couple, and this guy knows all about mills, okay? And she is all hyped up about the property. We probably had 4 or 5 young families with children there. We had Amish, 2 or 3 Amish. I mean... it was a full house, and there was a guy that had come earlier and was walking around. He was a builder from Anvil. So it was like a plethora of people.
And one man couldn't be there. He's on the phone with Les while Joel's doing the auction.
Right.
So,
go ahead.
Okay. So we're at 125, and And the auctioneer said later, after this lady said, man, I'm sweating now. At that point, he was sweating. He said, I'm thinking, how am I going to tell you, God, this happens sometimes. You know, you don't get to say
it. He was going to give us the speech.
He's convinced we're not going anywhere much.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, he thought 200, maybe a little more. So there were three bidders. I think we asked for three bidders. There were three. The one sort of then dropped down to two. The guy on the phone, another one. And all of a sudden, we're over 200,000, and I'm just looking, and I'm doing like this there. I'm tapping her.
I'm just standing there.
And then
Come on, Jesus.
Then I hear three something. Three, and we're going and going and going. And you know how the auctioneers are. They,
yeah.
So it slowed at 395. And what they do is then they take a recess, you know. And there's this guy over here. I mean, no, he's on my right, and that guy on the phone. So, and I, you know, he told us, you know, because we have a reserve, but if we go to recess and say we're going to sell it, it's an absolute auction. We're going. So, we discussed it. We went in there.
We had to go in the building, okay, and the auctioneers are in there.
Yeah.
They are totally shocked.
And we told him what we wanted. And when we told him what we wanted, he was like, he said later, if you'd have told me that, in the process, I'd have been discouraged. And I said to him, I've been discouraged with you telling me all this.
Yeah, you were the discourager.
And we can do this because we're kind of buds and we're Christians and we're, you know, we can do it. But I'm point blank with him. I'm honest. And, you know, there's a lot of places we could have caved and this would have been.
And it affected their commission. Oh. Now they're doubled. You know what I mean? Doesn't that speak?
So, so we decided we're gonna do this now. Because it was in our hearts. You know, if we'd have said, no, we're not selling, maybe you get a little more, but if you don't sell it then, and somebody said, well, you should just say no, and yeah, let's see you do that. you can do that with a realtor, because then you got more people. This is now, right now, in this point in time. So,
and at that point, we did not want to take it back.
And they were excited. They were surprised we were even considering deciding. But we said, yeah, we're going to be selling. We had a piece about it. So it went to 410,000. We got 410,000. He's getting, more than double his commission, he thought. And the person who bought it, we are so glad. I guess we can mention.
You know, everybody knows him anyway.
Did you ever hear of Horning's Market? Sure. Aiden Horning bought it. And, he was there the day of the showing. And I didn't know how to read him, but he's asking questions and he brings his son back and, I thought, you know, maybe. So anyway, it was the kind of thing where it was surreal, but you think, man, God, you did this. So I'm not criticizing Long Neck or Heisey in any way. I would recommend them, in fact. But use your faith.
Yeah.
So this is a testament of supernatural power of God versus natural things. You know, you can say, well, we'll be, or, you know, what's that saying? It is what it is, which I hate that saying too. but step by step, we didn't just throw this thing up randomly. We stood our ground. Oh, and I just got to tell you this. I'm not boring you, Mike, but if you are, just bear with me. So the data, then that Saturday morning, the next morning, I looked at this data, which I knew some of it, and he was actually concerned because he sold these properties, and one was for an attorney. He said, he's going to be mad at me because...
After the fact, the auctioneer talked to us and said, I just had these sales.
From last September up to now.
And he said, these people are going to be disappointed because they didn't get this money.
There was a wooded building site, 11 acres. They got 38,200 an acre with a realtor. I mean, no, that was an auction. Then they didn't take it, and they had to go to the realtor, and they got less. 37, a fully approved wooded building lot, 24,760 an acre, a 10-acre building lot with a great view. This is up near Granville, nice farm ground, just a beautiful view. They got 34,750 an acre. Then this is amazing to me. Fully approved driveway, a long driveway in, which probably cost $100,000. They had all the sedimentation, erosion, all the permits. It was probably $75,000, all done already. And that was about 13 acres, sold for $35,764 an acre. Now, we got 46,596 an acre. So now we had that building on there, but that's, you know, so they were astounded. But the difference was all God.
It was all God. It was all God. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. It's a matter of being led and trusting God.
And even with Christian, yeah. Even with Christian auctioneers, nothing against them at all, but, you know, we got to use our faith. You can't blame them.
We felt like we drug them along. I hate to say it like that, but we did. Yeah,
And now we just sent a big chunk of money to IRS before April 15th. But this, if we don't, now we're looking at some things like Lycon Exchange because we're in business and different things. But if we don't roll it into another investment, we're looking at almost $70,000 in capital gains taxes. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that, mm-hmm. you know, hey, if we do that, we do it cheerfully, but there's...
Well, this is another step to be led.
Yeah, so step by step.
Anything you can pray for us about yeah. that. Yeah.
All right. Well, praise the Lord.
That's
yeah. Great. Amen.
Praise God. See, God is good. It's, you know, this, the thing of it is, one of the things, our testimony, is number one, being specific. Yes. Most people, what their problem is, they don't have anything specific in their faith. They're just general faith. You know, God, I need a car. Well, good. You know, you need a car. Well, you know, that could be anything. You know, it could be something without an engine, but it was a car, you know, but you got it. What do you want? What do you believe? They were specifically a direction. They knew what the word said. And there's one thing about it. You're always going to have the thing. You're going to be standing, and you're always going to have things running. You're running into that are heading in a different direction you're going. And that's where you have to decide. This, you know, if you can't have peace and joy in those times, you're never going to really know about what it is to operate in faith. You know, faith, you know, I never ever most operated in faith because things are going well. My expectations are for something outside of what's going on. And right. So, and you have things come against you and things, you know, moving in directions. And this is one of the things is they took time hearing what God was saying about it. And that's one thing is do, you know, you get moving in a direction. Don't forget to listen to your spirit. Because God might tell you, you might have a good direction and a wonderful confession you have, but make sure God's hooked up with you on it. And they did. They moved when God moved on them to move about it. You know, they kept God in the loop. I find many times people get in faith, but they don't get God in the loop. And making sure if God's telling you to do something specific, to do that, whatever it is. And hey, it worked out. And you know what? Now just think about this. Their faith blessed faithless people. I'm saying, well, let's be honest. They were faithless. They were faithless. They wouldn't listen to them. All they listened to was their experience. I'm going to tell you what. Yeah. You better be careful about your experiences and the value you put on them. That's all they... And they hey, I'm not criticizing. That's, you know, they could get upset about me saying it, but it's exact truth. They were faithless. They were looking, well, we only got this for here, and this only got this. Oh, you're God. This because this is it. You know, and there's one thing as you find out as a Christian, you're going to have a hard time. If you're really a person of faith, you're going to have a very hard time finding people in the professionals to go along with you. You're going to always have a hard time with that because people are professionals. They go off their profession more. Yeah, I don't care if they're a Christian. I found this out, you know. I have hardly ever met, like, say, anybody in the medical industry and in you know, whether in hospitals, Christians who put more faith in God than in their medical science. I've never found anybody. Now, I've had testimonies of people who found people who were good at it. But generally, Christians always talk, well, the doctor said this, and, you know, this is that, and this is that, and the doctors, and they'll tell you, well, yes, well, we found this out, or we found, you know, they'll always tell you, well, but this is what science says. I've never had one of them saying, well, you know, Pastor Gibson, you're believing God. Well, yeah, you know, let's look for something better. No, they'll always tell you. And just like with theirs, you have somebody telling you. Now, Mike is a professional, definitely. Mike and Darlene are professionals, what they do. But they put their trust over in God on this thing. Mike knows more about probably property than they knew about it, especially getting over in the areas. I mean, his expertise and stuff and things are far above a lot of people's in that stuff. You know, he does major, I mean, huge amounts of money stuff and that stuff, dealing with sales and stuff. But you know what? He didn't put his trust in that.
Amen.
That's the difference. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to share some things this morning, though, before we go. We're teaching here, and I'm dealing with, you know, knowledge that overcomes is one of the things is dealing with this things. It's like we're dealing here with Mike and him talking about. There was a thing of knowledge that they had. There was knowledge that they had of God. They had a knowledge of God's word. But we found out dealing with this is a scripture that we used in the opening here was from Hosea 4:6, which says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Understand this. You do not have any faith if you don't have knowledge of the Word of God. Faith in the Word of God comes from the knowledge of God's Word. You can't have faith in God if you didn't know what He said. You know, I had a very close person, very close to me one time, give a call and say, you know, they were believing for certain. They say, "Oh, we're believing God for such and such." And then they made this statement. "Well, just whatever God wants." And I said, "Well, when you find out what God wants, give me a call back." Because we can't stand in faith. Now, this is a person. And this person was a Rhema grad and everything. Made a statement like that. Well, they really thought they were standing in faith. Well, you're not in faith. You don't know what the Word said. You don't know what God wants. You can't believe for what you don't have any information on. Faith is, see, people put it as a blind faith. Faith is never blind to the Word of God. Never. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of what isn't seen. If you can't, if you don't have any knowledge of it, you can't see nothing. And your hope, I don't care how much you hope for something, you can't produce it by faith without knowledge. You have to know. It's number one, you have to know this when you're dealing in the areas of faith and knowledge. You have to know that what you said you believe, that it belongs to you, not that you're trying. If you're trying to get God to give it to you, you're not in faith. You need to understand this. Now, I'm not going to go over here, but I see the Holy Spirit's going here. Is one of the things that many people do, is many people are doing this. They're believing God for things. They're believing God for stuff. We're not believing God for stuff. We believe we receive something. Faith receives something. It believes it belongs to me. This is why most people, this is what, I'll tell you this right out. I've learned this right in the beginning when I first started off understanding about healing. I understood why most people couldn't get healed. Because they were always believing for healing. I don't believe for healing. Healing belongs to me. It was given to me by God 2,000 years ago. Amen. Through Jesus Christ. I'm not believing for it. I believe I receive it. Healing belongs. Every spiritual blessing belongs to the believer. We're not trying to get them, God, to give them. We receive them. It's like the Lord said to me not long after I was first born again. Why do my people keep asking me for what I already give them? I don't pray and ask God for it. I say this is what I believe. Mike and them wrote down a covenant with God what they believed they were going to get. This is what I'm having. This is what we have. See, I have a right to it. You don't have a covenant when ain't, if it ain't, you don't have a right to it. You ain't got no covenant. See, people don't even know. We write, like they write things out. This is what God said. This is what He said. This is what He says belongs to me. This is what, get this in your thinking. And I find it's hard for people because people are trained in the area of what I look at as more is trying to beg God for something than they are saying, "I receive it. God gave me it. Himself took my infirmities and bore my sickness." That's already done. That I'm not trying to get Him to take my sickness. I remember people there. "I want God to take this sickness from me." Well, it's too late. He already did that. Amen. Read the Bible sometime. People say, "I read the Bible." People have knowledge, can quote scriptures, but have no wisdom at all in its use. No wisdom whatsoever. We talked about wisdom last week. Wisdom is the ability to put knowledge to work. If you don't have wisdom, knowledge may not profit you at all. I can get Christians to quote scriptures to me, and over the years they'll quote scriptures to me, but when you ask them about things, they'll speak opposite of what they just told you the Bible says. They'll speak opposite of it. They'll say something else. See, you gotta, this is one thing, it's like all that stuff I have back there, things I have. I have sat and listened till I don't listen to people anymore. Because people are always saying, they'll turn around. They'll talk things, and they say they're Christians, and oh, the Word, but they'll talk to you opposite of what the Word is saying. You know, good Christian people, nice people, they ain't bad, they're going to die and go to heaven. But you know, Mike and them, they're out here in an area. I mean, when you can't tell people what you're believing for because they'll drop dead because you'd say something that's so far over their head. And they're Christians. Now, they tell you they love the Lord and they trust the Lord and all that. And they'll talk about faith like we trust God. We trust what? What are you trusting today? Well, they're going for something big. Well, it's more over my head. God sure couldn't do it. God couldn't give them $400,000 in that property because I can't believe for it. Haven't you looked at the data lately? See, you're limited. You're limited by your natural knowledge that you put so much emphasis on. You're limited. That's one thing, as I find. If a person doesn't, it's like this. If a person doesn't develop, usually, from a childhood in the areas of knowledge, of spiritual knowledge, and they go off to school and stuff and things, if they later on pick up and get saved and start gaining the knowledge of God, they have a terrible time dividing the two. They'll usually always follow natural knowledge. Not all people do, but a lot of people do. It's just hard for them to do. See, so many people, we put such natural. God's running cross grain to this thing. God looks at a situation where they say, well, you know, you can't have this much out of that. You know, God looks at it and, well, what do you want out of it? What do you believe out of it? Do you know what? Hey, Mike and them put their belief. God didn't. You need to understand. People say, well, look what God did. Well, God did it because they believed. If they wouldn't have believed for it, God wouldn't have done it. In other words, wouldn't have went any further. Now, thank God, God can do exceedingly abundantly above what we ask or think. But, you know, God can do exceedingly abundantly. I believe God for $10, but if $100 showed up, I'd be exceedingly abundantly above what I ask or thought. But you know, you're not going to believe for $10 and show up a million's going to come in. Amen. That's right. How far can you go? How far? And you need to understand, we're dealing in the areas of knowledge and putting knowledge together. You got to gain knowledge of God, and that knowledge has to become more important to you than any other knowledge there is. Amen. Thank God, what people can do. What people think, we have a lot of things technologically man has been able to do, but there's much that we can't. We know this, of all the technology we have in medicine and everything else, it hasn't made a healthier America, has it? It can't. Why? Because there's something else running on what the Bible would consider an unbelief, but really it's a faith in another thing. It's faith in our educational systems. It's faith in all this other stuff. It's faith in these things are going to make things work. And they aren't working. And people are so uneducated, they can't see it. You know? Education, so everybody ought to go to college. Well, I always tell people when they say that, yeah, well, everybody down in Washington's got a college education. How well is it working? See, getting a college education makes a better people. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. That's ignorance gone to seed. It don't get any dumber than that. You know what? If you're not a good person and you get an education, you'll find out how to be a really cheat at being a bad person and manipulate. That's why we have all this manipulation of money and stuff and things. I mean, these people all the time doing illegal stuff. They got educated and now how to know how to act evil better. If you're not godly, I will tell you this, I don't care if you're a Christian, and you get education, you'll do things wrong. You'll use that education to do things more for your own selfishness and self-centeredness than you will to bless other people. I found out higher education, more ungodly. It just gets more ungodly. I lived in this world long enough to see. At 75 years, I learned a few things. And I learned they lied about a lot. Our education got to be taught under the umbrella of God. Under that of His Word. You always got to put Him first. He has to. You got to do that. As we looked the last time concerning wisdom, you don't follow wisdom in God's Word. Last time we read from Proverbs, the first chapter, it talked about wisdom. It says, wisdom called aloud outside, in verse 20 of Proverbs 1 says, wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses at the opening of the gates of the city. She speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in the scorning, and fools in hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. Because you disdain all my counsel and would not none of my rebuke. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm, and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. You need to understand this about wisdom. Wisdom is always calling out. It is always, there's always wisdom. Number one, you can't have wisdom if you don't have knowledge. Don't bother to try to get wisdom of what to do if you don't have knowledge of the Word of God. If you want to know what to do, see, people will follow wisdom. There's natural knowledge about things that people need to know. We need to know living in this life. But there's one thing about you have to know and learn how to apply that. Now, there's natural knowledge how to make wealth and do things. And we know there's sinners, billionaires and that stuff out here. They ain't involved in God at all. They didn't give two nickels. They didn't give two nickels to the gospel in their life, yet they made millions following a natural thing. But I found out about him. You know, it's John Paul Getty made this statement. A man in his time, in his riches today, Getty would, you know, as a billionaire, he would have been worth a whole lot more than what people are today. And that's, but Getty said he's married numbers of times. I'd have given all my wealth to have one good marriage. Isn't that really nice? But see, all his wealth. See, wealth is not just having money. Amen. You need to understand this. You know, ask Bill Gates. All of his money, and he can't keep a family. See, education or non-education or. Okay, he followed a principle, but see, there's one thing, as I found out better. See, I found out there's a kingdom of God that you could get wealthy and happy too. You could gain wealth, but still have joy and peace in life, where you could actually have a marriage. You could actually have these things. You could have that kind of stuff, and you have a choice. But it's what you're going to put first to do it. See, I didn't put first to get wealth, just to have wealth. You know? What is important for you to have? What's important? You know, this one thing is, even I find in Christians that are more geared toward wealth all the time, always over on the side of wealth all the time, there's other areas of your life ain't good. No, you want to learn how to walk in peace and joy and rest. If you can't walk in peace with no money in your pocket, you won't walk in any more peace when you got it in. You'll get so tight wadded out of there, you won't want to give, you won't want to do nothing. So, you know, you learn how to have peace and joy at life. See that, you know, out there's John Paul Getty. I mean, he wanted peace and joy. He couldn't buy peace and joy. You can't get it. You know, money can buy you a lot of things, a lot of toys to play with and do keep you occupied. But when the toys ain't, you ain't playing with the toys, you still got to live with you. You know, I've had people all the time say, you know, I tell you what I need. I just need to get away somewhere. If I get away, no. If you get away, you go with you. That's the problem. You go with you. You don't need to get away from other people. You need to get away from you. That's your trouble. You know, I see people do this all the time. You know, they turn around, got divorced, got remarried, divorced somebody else. You know, why? Because they went along. See, they didn't realize they were going to be in the next marriage. It was always the other person's problem. It's good preaching. But there's one thing, see, if you know what to do, and here's one thing we need to understand about knowing what to do, because about gaining knowledge, Hosea, back in Hosea 4:6, before I read the open, but it says, because you've rejected knowledge, I've also rejected you as being priest. In other words, the rejection of knowledge. Did you gain knowledge and you just rejected it, did something else? Because he goes on there and he says, because you have forgotten the law of God, or you forgot the knowledge of God. He said, I forget your children. You need to understand the importance of these things of forgetting. See, there's people go along, you forget. The knowledge of God got to stay at the forefront of your life. Because why? You won't act wisely. Impossible. You won't act wisely. When it comes time to trust in God, you don't act wisely. Just let me say this. Our situations in life, people's situations today, or whether they realize it or like it or not, is because of what you made it. God didn't make any of your decisions, you did. Amen. And if you don't like the way things turned out in your life, go look in the mirror and yell at that idiot. See, I learned that. I learned to look in the mirror, you know. If I could get a better person, I got a better marriage, or I could have this, or I could hold it. If your marriage is bad, you didn't get into it? You were someplace else doing something? And it happened? See, I married this person and they're terrible. Well, that shows me one thing about you. You don't have good taste. Something's wrong with you. That's right. I'm just going to tell you. You married him. Hey, whether you like it or not, people don't marry the right person because all they see is what they see. And they don't make their choices. They see things. I can tell you this as a minister and counseling people, and I've talked to people concerning marriage. Almost every time a person has talked to me about something they're upset at that person for was something they knew about that person before they ever married him. But they think, you know, I'm so wonderful. They'll change because I'm so wonderful. No, they won't. You married a jerk, don't be surprised. You now there's two jerks in your family. First thing that I learned with God when I got born again, Wanda wasn't my problem. I was my problem. Happy life did not depend on Wanda. It depended on me and my trust in God. They're not my problem. If I married the wrong person, just shut up and bite your lip. You did it. Don't you complain about them. You complain about you and your stupid mistakes and decide, I'm not doing that no more. Because if you complain about them, I'll guarantee you, you're going to do more dumb stuff and blame it on somebody else. I don't blame it on other people for my life. My government ain't my problem. Joe Biden wasn't its problem. And I had learned that before he came. I was just as happy under Biden as I'm happy today with the government I have today. That didn't change my joy in life. I wasn't wringing my hands before. See, other people, I learned it. God had to teach me that. Every time I would say something about Wanda to do something, the Lord would always remind me, but what about you? And you did that. See, that's why most people, they get focused on all kinds of things. One of the first things I had to learn was about myself. Amen. And you know what? The Bible calls the Word a mirror. I know this, if you don't know about you, you really don't know the Word. Because the Word's a mirror. See, always people say, boy, I wish that person was here and would have heard that. Yeah, I wish you would have. The ones that are here, hear. Whoever has an ear to hear. There's one thing, is the Word's a mirror. If you can read the Bible and study the Bible and you don't ever get uncomfortable, there's something wrong with you. I never found I got perfect. I always found out. Yeah, you could change that. It wouldn't hurt. Wouldn't sure hurt you to change that. See, the Word has to speak to you. See, I've learned this about preaching. It's number one. I got to listen to me preach. I study it before you hear it. A long time before you hear it. I'm looking at it. So don't sit on the other side and say, well, you know, he is hard on us today. I'll give you a wimp, knock it off.
Amen.
You'll never change. You keep doing that, you won't change. Amen. No. Say, man, I done heard it 10 times. God had to tell it to me before I could preach it. And I don't know how to look at it. See, I already repented 10 times. And that was before I got up to preach. But it is. But this, number one, it brings, to me, the word's a delight. It isn't. Correction comes with teaching. You have never had a teacher if you aren't corrected in teaching. That means you already knew it. What would you be listening to teaching for? That'd be stupid. We listen to teaching, I'm trying to find out what I don't know. And lots of times we find out what we didn't know we were doing wrong. Well, that's the way, there's no other way to do this, folks. There's no other way to do it. You know? And I don't know how to do it. But everybody wants, I want to come in, I want to feel good. I feel good when I gain knowledge. That's when I feel good. I don't feel better because you tell me I'm nice, but I know full well I'm not. Right. Say I'm nice, so I go home and I feel terrible about myself. I'm going to hang myself in the closet, but everybody told you we're nice. This is our world we live in today. It's a patent-pet world. That's not true. We have a heart. We can't put education over. Every education is trying to make everybody happy where they are. No, education takes you someplace you ain't been before, and it may be uncomfortable. Amen. It may demand of you more than you thought. Amen. This is what I found out. Ministry required a lot more of me than I thought it would.
Amen.
If you don't like to be judged, you stay away from ministry as far as you can. Because I'm going to tell you what, in ministry, you get judged quicker. God deals with you quicker. And will deal with you with things that other people get away with. But you can't cause the anointing on your life. The things that God reveals to you. See, it's one thing, you know, if you don't want to go further, then just don't listen to teaching anymore. You just want to happy where you're at. If you don't mind just living the normal life like the rest of the world is, go sit down somewhere. But there's a demand on you. If you want to learn, learning requires something. You know, God may not give you a degree or something out here, but I'm going to tell you, you will get a degree when you get to heaven, when you get to the to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. You're going to get an education there. And that's going to be an eternal one. I found out, get the education over here. Get it on this side here. Let's get this thing right. It's an important part. And we've gotten away from all this. We've made this candy Christianity today. That pats and pets. In the world, look what's the demand that they put on people to rise to things and to go to stuff. The demands that they put on. If 99% of Americans would put the demand on themselves that they put on our politicians and on our presidents and stuff. Can anybody expect anything out of you? What can we expect out of you? See, we need to understand it because, hey, this is a part of growing up in life. This is a part of maturity. This is why most Christians are immature. Majority of Christians are immature in Christianity. And the reason they are is because of low-level teaching. People love it. They like low-level teaching. They like teaching. Doesn't put demand on me. Doesn't speak to me.
Amen.
Well, I'm going to tell you what. Wisdom. How many times have you done something and wisdom said to you, you knew you weren't supposed to do that.
Yep.
Wisdom said, yeah, you weren't supposed to say that. Wisdom. Why? It's mocking you. It's not God. People say, well, God did it. No, he didn't. Wisdom did. You knew better. Your own conscience just told you.
Amen.
You knew better. You did it. That's your problem.
Amen.
And it'll mock you. And I want you to understand this. When he said, when it went down and said, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. You keep pushing wisdom off, and after a while, your wisdom is from your conscience. When you know what to do, take knowledge and put it, and you don't, eventually your conscience will quit talking to you. The Bible calls it a seared conscience. After a while, your conscience will let you do what's wrong and never even mock you about it because it don't even want to talk to you.
Amen.
They're not going to listen. You don't have an angel sitting on one shoulder and a devil on the other. See, one of the things that we want to do, and we need to get a hold of this. Wisdom first, and let me say this to you. The Bible, when we talk about this confession and things, the number one thing, if you want to set your, you got to set your direction to do. Wisdom is about what you do with knowledge. Wisdom is what you do with the knowledge you have. It's how you put it to work in your life. See, Mike and them, they and Darlene talked about with their wisdom. What they did is, time went on, they turned around, they decided, okay, we're going to sit with God. Here's what the Scripture says. And they wrote these things down. In other words, they took the knowledge that they had and they applied it to something. Now, they applied it to something that was readable. In other words, voices said, they had to be saying these things to write these things and to do these things. Number one, wisdom first speaks in a direction. It doesn't matter how much you know if what you're saying. See, I go to a question, well, does God heal? Yeah, God healed. Do you think God wants you well? Yes, I want God. God, think God wants me well. You know, but you know, people get sick for a purpose. Well, you just took wisdom and threw it right out the window. Your voice. You didn't apply wisdom to your knowledge. See, this is why things don't work. It's people, their wisdom. You can't head in a direction that you're not talking in. You know, if I'm not planning, we plan a vacation to go somewhere, we don't talk like we're going someplace else other than where we're going to. And you know what? We prepare by our voice of the direction, and then one day we follow our voice. Now we apply the wisdom we spoke to the wisdom we're doing. Now we're doing what we're saying. This one, if you have a hard time in areas of faith, I can tell you why. Your voice. I don't care how much you know the Word of God. Your voice has to continually be in that direction. It can't be in another direction. It can't be saying other stuff on the side there. No, this is it. You see, this is where the war is. And as we go on these teachings, you're going to find out this is where the war is. The battles go on. See, Mike and Darlene got into a battle. They had people saying, you can't go that far. No. I have evidence, and I'm going to get my evidence. And my evidence is, look, all these unbelievers could not believe for nothing, and I'm putting you in the same category. Yeah. They could even all been believers, but they had no faith in the direction they were going. They didn't get blessed because they were Christians, or even they tithed. Don't you believe these people tell you just put money out there and you're going to get money back. Don't you ever believe that. If you don't get money back, that's your fault. You haven't gained the knowledge and the wisdom to how to get money. They did.
Right.
See, they had wisdom and then they applied that wisdom. But you know what? It just wasn't fairy tale land. I mean, here you are on the day of the thing and the guy's trying to talk you into less. What are you going to do?
Well, they keep saying this, and I just believe in God. It's so hard out here.
It's hard putting up with whiners. It is. We don't be moved by what they say. You know, I see a doctor, I don't get moved by what he says. I get information saying, you know, I can change that.
That's right.
If you get all bent out of shape, you know what you just said? I can't change that. I'm stuck. They said, so what? They're my knowledge now. They will be my wisdom, and I'll confess it. I'll say it, and I see, you can't talk it and say that and head in another direction. This is people try to do that. They're believing the direction that God, the doctor told them, their head, everything said, come up here and pray for me. Lay your hand on an empty head. That's what it is. Because nothing's going to happen because their direction is that way. I want the good, but my direction's that way. See, the devil did it. You know what? Now, if you like about it, whether people like it, the devil wanted to use other Christians to get them to move. They wouldn't have seen themselves doing that. You think the devil didn't know they wrote a contract? I'll guarantee you he did. He's probably mad when they wrote it. I could just see him there. Those people are doing that again. Writing that stuff down. Saying it. Well, I can't get to them, so let's find some other Christians who tell you how they love Jesus. And they're born again. And let's get them to try to change that thing. That's why I always say, you know, when I went to Bible school, I'd have never went to Bible school if I listened to Christians. They all tried to talk. Yeah, the world thought it was neat I was going to do it. Unsaved people thought it was something. I was leaving my job and going off to school. They thought it was neat. Christian, are you sure God wants you to do that? You sure you guys are? That's a little out there, Mike. Got out there a little far. Just like that, Mike will not listen to data. No, because Mike and Darlene had their data.
That's right.
You're going to decide which one you choose.
Amen.
See, this is why I found out from a miracle standpoint, if you want miracles, you need to get yourself over in the area where you're the wisdom that God has given you. That becomes the place you stand. If you water it by adding something else to it, it gets watered down.
Amen.
And it's just like with water. You know, you take a little dirty water and you mix it with clean water. What do you got? Dirty water.
Amen.
And this is what many people, their faith is dirty water. They have it mixed. They try to mix because, you know, I don't get over it. People get, here's one thing, they get natural fears. Afraid if I stand over with God, it may not work. I will guarantee you that they thoughts of their mind came to, what if this thing don't work? You tell those thoughts don't come. I'll guarantee you the devil's going to be there. It didn't work bad enough. They had thoughts. The devil had to send them people. Because the thoughts weren't working well enough. These guys ain't paying attention to the data. The devil's right. I tried to tell them. No, let's get some people over here to tell them. They just don't listen. To change. I've watched people do this all the time. They're setting a direction of faith. Something else comes along, and next thing you know, they're hooked to that. Folks, I have buried people who could tell you and quote all the scriptures, but they never walked in wisdom. They never applied what they believed. They followed the doctor wholeheartedly. They would not stop and say, hey, I'm going to trust God. I'm just going to tell you this. When you run into a place, if you don't learn to do this and you run into a place one day where the doctors can help you, we're doing a funeral. That's just the way it is. Because you won't believe. If you have it, build it in you. Like Wanda and I didn't start off believing God for, we could believe for tens and thousands and thousands of dollars. We didn't start there. We started $20, and man, I thought we went pretty far on that one. All the years I've watched these people, I need $1,000, I'm believing God for that. And I've asked people, have you ever believed God for $100? Now, well, then they Manny Mouse around. You don't need to get $100. I doubt if you can believe him for $1,000. I doubt it. Because the day gets closer that you need that money, we'll find out if you're really in faith. If you're looking for something else to do, it's a good chance you had none. Look, I'm not saying this stuff to be hard. It's because of what you go through. It's just like Mike. What happens? Stuff starts coming against you. Things come against you. People try to move you off. The day comes, the devil's heckling worse than he was back. Well, this is the day. You know, this don't work out. You guys, you're going to look like fools. See, you wrote that thing down, and you're going to look like you're dumb. You look like something wrong with you. If you're afraid of what you look like, stay away from the faith place.
Amen.
Don't even bother trying to go there. Because that's the devil will always, yeah, well, what if you stand there and you do that and don't work? When I had my heart attack and I decided to go for a run, The devil said, well, they find you dead along the road. What are the people in your church going to say? Well, I could have played to that. See, I could worry, what do I care if people think I'd be dead? But the devil, and you know what? He'll get you thinking in your mind. What if you say you're believing God and it don't work? What are people going to think of you? I'd rather try to believe God and look like a fool than be the fool you are.
Amen.
That's right. You a fool if you won't stand in faith.
Right.
See, that's where I decided. I decided it doesn't matter. This is not about Ed. Ed must prove his God out. Prove me, says the Lord. If I'll not open the windows of heaven, pour out a blessing on you that can't be. But you've got to prove him. You can't go hide out somewhere, fake a faith thing, and have it show up for you.
Amen.
Let's get to this thing where it's at. No, let's get it out in the open. Let's get it out there. God will show up for us.
Amen.
God is going to do this. And I'll tell you, you're going to have voices. Whether it's the devil or something, that your own mind telling you, boy, you shouldn't be doing this. Ed, you ought to go sit down. Your leg hurts. Don't you feel it, you stupid thing? Go sit down. It's bothering you. You know, I just believe I'm healed in the name of Jesus. And I want to, you know. Yeah, well, I'll tell you, wisdom said, and I've had people, wisdom said, though, you shouldn't do that. Yeah, they had earthly wisdom. And it was exalted. That preacher's exalted above the knowledge of God. No, I got wisdom in areas, and I'm going to tell you what, I've lived it and it worked. I wouldn't tell other people to do what I did, because if you haven't stood in places of faith and you haven't done it, don't go copy somebody else.
Amen.
Don't copy. See, I made decisions a long time ago in my life, you know, and I was going to stand, I'm just going to trust God. This is it. This is what I'm standing on. You got to know what you can do and what you can't do. But that's in you. One of the things I just want to encourage you is get the Word of God in you. Get it into you.
Amen.
This is one thing. When you're believing, getting that Word of God into you, wisdom is one of the most wonderful planters. What wisdom do? Wisdom will get you into confession mode if you have true wisdom. It'll get you talking the right thing. Words are seeds. You want to build it up in your heart? You begin. You take care of your heart. Most people destroy their own heart by what they're saying. They're talking their stuff and destroying their own heart. Don't destroy your heart. Build your heart. You have seeds of faith in there. Speak things that turn around and water that faith. Things in there that build it up. You begin to speak. I don't care how things, see, Mike, them things around them are a different direction, you know. You know, but see, the devil might have sent those storms not to just get everybody, but just get, because they heard Mike, and the devil read the thing that they wrote. And so, you know, let's mess them up out there. Let's go do that. Let's call the storm over here and get them feeling, this ain't going to work. See, we have this written down here, but, you know, it ain't going to happen for them. No, because don't you know what the Weather Channel said? You haven't listened to AccuWeather? Why, you poor fool. You don't know a darn thing, do you? I mean, they're accurate at least 25% of the time. You know, Wanda got so good at doing the things of she was the weatherman. At school, they would, whenever one was going to do something on outside day or do something like that on the weekend, they'd go to Wanda. Why? Because the rest of them, all unbelievers, even they're Christians. Get Wanda to pray and ask for a day. It'll be okay. Do they do that to you? Or do they just know you're a nuisance like most people? I'll tell you how it's going to turn out. But they go to, you know, Wanda say, well, they want good weather, so they ask me. and she'd get them good weather. See, people say, we're living in an earth. They don't realize this world system, the weather systems and stuff, the devil's in control of, not God. It isn't God. You know what? People are preaching the climate change. They're bringing it. They're proclaiming everything's going bad. And if you're part of it, you're part of the problem. People are, words of humans out here speaking are doing this stuff. If you don't believe that's true, then you're in the wrong church. You don't believe this faith and confession stuff. You don't believe it at all. See, back years ago when Hurricane Sandy was coming up the coast, it was off of Florida, sitting down in Florida, they predicted that thing was going to hit Florida, then it was going to come up the coast and then hit up here in the coast. That's they did it. Well, first it was supposed to hit down in Florida, and which I had done before. But I stood, see, I never pray about storms and stuff. I talked to them. But I said to that storm, I said, "Storm, you're not going to come up here. You're not coming up." And that storm backed off the coast for 4 days. It set off of Florida for 4 days. AccuWeather and all the rest of the weather, they already had that thing should have been up and passed and went through here. It set down there off of there. Now, see, I know a lot of Christians say they're praying about that storm. What are you praying about that storm, or what are you saying? See, you can be asking God, but what's on your voice? See, many people, the average person will pray out of fear. Oh, we don't want that thing coming up here, and they're scared. I don't care if it comes up here and ain't getting me. It's going to get you if you don't. See, I'm telling what I say. What you pray may never bring a thing. You can pray, but after you're done praying, what are you saying? Amen. You negate everything that ever came out of your mouth by what you're saying. You'll negate it all. You don't do that. You talk in the direction you prayed. You ask God to do something, start acting like He's going to do something. Amen. This is wisdom. That's the wisdom. This is the wisdom. You're saying, this is why you want to say. Why? Because your say will hold your direction for you. You're saying how you're going to talk. See, Mike and Darlene wouldn't change what they said. What's the devil trying to do? Get them to change their voice. Because if he can get them to change their voice, he can squash what's in their heart.
Amen.
You know what? That thing they wrote down didn't come to pass because it was written down. It was because their heart was in it. And if the devil can keep their heart squashed down, well, they'll talk something else. That's what he's trying. He's trying to get them to change their voice. Why? He wants to get at their heart. If you can't keep your blab mouth shut and say the right thing, you're your problem. I learned that. It was his problem a lot.
Amen.
I was. That's how you become your problem. You have to learn to control about the things that you want to move in a direction. You've got to control yourself concerning the direction you want it to go.
Amen.
That's wisdom. If you don't get this wisdom, faith is always going to be this obscure thing that wants a hit and miss thing. And most of the time the hit and miss is this, God's mercy. He does it for you in spite of your ignorance. Live there. I know what that's like. I started off, God was merciful to Ed, did all kinds of wonderful things. But there's loads of things I've had the Lord tell me. You can't do that like that anymore. I expect more out of you than that.
Amen.
And He does. He expects more. Just like we do naturally out of people, you know. At least we should. Today we don't. Educational system of America, they expect everybody to stay an idiot. We all try to pet him and pin him just to move them through from grade to grade to get them out of our hair. Let's just move them through and get them going. Let's play like we have an education. See, the Lord used to get the diplomas were rolled up in a scroll. Now they're just toilet paper. They're just nothing but a roll. That's all they are. That's all they're good for. But anyhow, that storm. But I knew something was wrong because that storm set. And I said to the Lord, I said, "Lord, why? Why can't that? Why is that storm moving?" I said, something's wrong. And the Lord said to me, "You can't stop it. Even the Christians are calling it up here. Not only their mouth, this, their dirty lives. You can't live a dirty life and be a faith person." See, Christians, they wanted something, but you know what? Wisdom is mocking them and laughing at them. Wisdom's mocking them. Understand this about forgiveness. Let me just say this in closing. I want to tell you something about God will forgive you of anything. And He will. He'll forgive you. But that don't mean you can just jump right back and get everything fixed. There's things that if you do out of line, God will forgive you for, but your life, you're going to live with it for the rest of your life. There's people who have done stuff in this world, Christians, and in this life. You know, the government don't have to forgive you scripturally. The government is not required to forgive you. They're required by God. Read Romans. They're supposed to punish you, bring terror on you. Oh, I thought we were rehabilitating. Well, I'm going to tell you what, and this is not being vulgar. The trouble we have is we need to scare the hell out of some people.
Amen. Preach. Preach.
I found out with children, sometimes you got to scare the hell out of them or they never change.
Amen. Preach.
We have all this cutie sweetie pie stuff. Mm-hmm. No. We're dealing with spirits. There's one thing. I found this out, that people don't yield to spirits as quickly if their flesh has to have, you know, get something painful against it, if they do. If they have to feel pain, they don't want to. It's amazing how people can resist demonic powers trying to push them into an area because their flesh. So the power of your flesh is powerful. You get a sinner, their flesh is powerful. They won't listen to a devil if they think their flesh is going to get hurt for it. Your flesh is... most Christians, their number one power in their life is their flesh. And the only way to keep them in line is to whoop them.
Amen.
Do you ever think about why would the devil go to put such nasty things on people's lives if it didn't? What does the devil do? Boy, he wants to hurt your flesh. You know, they say, well, you know, God uses sickness to try to get people. You know, you think everybody would get in divine healing just like that if they thought. You know, people say, you know, well, God gave us today. He gave us doctors. Well, they've had doctors since the beginning of time. You show me one scripture that says God gave us doctors. Show me one scripture. There isn't one. There's not one scripture. We've made these people we worship and we go to, and they are held highly above everybody else in all other wisdom. They're held in this place. We need to think about these things. You see, number one, these things. Now, I had one of the books I read, somebody, it was John G. Lake's book. John G. Lake, up in Washington State, there at. What was the city up there? Yeah, Spokane. Spokane, he had documented over 100,000 divine healings. And almost all these people that were healed, in fact, what was it, like 1954 or something? They said that Spokane was the healthiest city in America. The government said. But he had over 100,000 people documented by medical science that these people were healed. Now, number one, the majority of these people were healed. There were people that were given up by medical science. Couldn't do anything for them. Now, see, everybody wants to have that happen. But you know what John G. Lake believed? Now, I ain't saying you have to believe this. But see, you wouldn't want to go to John G. Lake. Because John G. Lake believed you'd never go to doctors. And if you went to his thing to get healed, you had to give up doctor and you had to give up your medicine. But he had 100,000 healings. You see, we look at these people and read these books, but we don't pay no time and no respect. We just like quotes. Just quote me something about him. It's really cool. But they didn't believe in that. Gee, how'd you like his church? I'm going to tell you, he'd be the church with three people in it today. And none of the faith people would be there. You say, well, he's really out there. But you know what? He really got out there results. And you can't knock his results. You can't knock them. You can say, some people say, well, you know, we don't believe like that. That's fine. But can you, if you don't believe it, you got a better one, you got better results. Now, I don't believe, you know, the Lord told Kenneth Hagin, people go to the doctor, he wants to help them. But you know what? This is one thing is, the Lord told Kenneth Hagin this, and you need, You don't get divine healing by going to a doctor. You can't have it. The Lord said to Kenneth Hagin, divine healing is healing without any kind of medical help, any kind of health, any medicines or anything. You can't get divine healing. We have that. God will supply that for you. But he said, if you go to the doctor, he said, pray in it and believe for a quick recovery. So see, he wants you to recover, but you're not going to get divinely healed. That ain't going to happen. You're not going to get divinely healed. God will help you, but you'll never experience divine healing. That's why most Christians, majority of spirit-filled and faith Christians, have never experienced divine healing. They've never experienced it. I have. I've experienced divine healings. But you know what? They aren't always easy to stand for. Faith is always going to require you in there. You don't need faith if it's easy. If it ain't nothing. Faith is just like Mike. You get out in an area and you want to. It's derogatory toward the direction things are going. It's derogatory to the, like with them, the rest of the economy in the area of what's going on. You know, God give us $10 more than everybody else got. Their demand is much higher because, and it requires God to do it because. Nobody in the natural says, they said, well, you can't do that. You can't have this. You can't do it. This is why I tell people, it's not to be mean. This is why I tell people, you got to learn to where you can stand and believe God without taking medication for something. You got to say, I started with headaches. And I tell you what, I haven't had a headache. I've had headaches try to come on me for a few minutes, but I haven't had none since 1980. I learn about it. I learn how to resist a headache. You don't resist cancer, you can't resist headaches. You don't learn that. If you can't resist things, and I learned this. I had to learn to resist things. I learned to stand and say, no, I'm not going to do something about this. I'm just going to use my faith. I remember starting off the headache wanting to come, just the fight you go through. I'd stand and wait, my faith would last a good 20 minutes. Then I'm getting over there and I'm getting concentrated and thinking over there. Can I give you a little testimony about where I missed it? See, you need to know this. See, I know how God's expectation. See, I've learned over the years how to stand concerning things. And so, back some years ago, I was at a Randall Greer meeting down in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. And we were in Gatlinburg, and at that time it was a Clarion Hotel I was staying in. And I got this thing, I would feel fine during the day, but I'd go to bed at night and I'd just cough and cough, cough, never sleep all night. Cough and cough and cough, cough. I'd get up during the day and I things would be all right. I'd go to bed and I'd just cough and cough, cough. And then, so, I finally got around to it. And I got around and I'd make these confessions, but my confessions weren't working. And it wasn't working for this reason. I wasn't in faith. You know, so I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, what is going on? See, some people, I don't know, maybe you don't want God to talk back to you. But God, see, you want God to talk to you? Lots of times when God talks to me, it's not something old sweet edge, you're the cutest thing. You know? This is what he said to me. All you do is focusing on that coffin tonight. That's all you do. I said, amen, brother. You got that. That's exactly what I was doing. I know, and this is what he told me. He's going to teach me a lesson. He said, I want you to, and he said to me, I want you to go to one of these clinics. I want you to go to this clinic, he said here. I said, Lord, I ain't got a clue where a clinic is here. I've never been here and been in a clinic. And he said this to me. He said, you go downstairs and you ask the desk, they'll tell you where you can go. So he told me. I said, well, Lord, what about, he said, you don't qualify for my best. You know better. Because he ain't dealing with a baby. See, do you want to grow up? Do you want to move into areas of faith, do you? It's going to put more challenges on your life. God won't deal with you like a baby.
Amen. Preach.
He deals with Ed like a son. Amen. When the Bible in the New Testament talks about a son, it's someone, a little child who wasn't, they're not a son. A son was somebody who grew, got to a certain age and he had this ceremony and he was more, that was the adoption into the family. He became a living part and a working part of that family. Most Christians never arrive into sonhood. Well, see, I got to be a son, but then they expected something out of me. What kind of ugly thing is this? What kind of king was it? My mama would have patted me and pet me. But you know what I did? I said, God, except you're exactly right. I said, I understand. I did know better and I didn't do better. You might be in that shape. You might know to do some things better and you don't. You wonder why things ain't working because you know. And you ain't asked God. I always thought, if it ain't working, I never question the Word. I know the Word works. I know it don't matter about somebody else. This is between God and me.
Amen.
And so I asked, Lord, what's going on? Where did I miss it? Mm-hmm. Most people never talk to God like that. Where did I miss it? God, I don't understand what you're doing. He's following the Word. And He won't change because of you.
Amen.
Well, I went to the clinic. And I went down there, and the doctor went through a thing and talked to me, and he gave me a prescription on a thing and told me to go get it. And I thought, the Lord sent me there, I'm going to obey. I'm going to obey and do it. Because, you know, I'm obeying. I ain't going to sit around here. He said, no, I don't deserve His best. You know what? I obeyed Him, did it, and I'll tell you, I got better so darn quick. It was phenomenal. But I obeyed. So you can sit around and run your faith. I said, if I'd have done that number, well, I'm just, you know, I'm really going to do my thing. I'm going to be no different. What we're going to talk about in this, the children of Israel, God said, you guys, 10 times you messed up, that's the last. And He said, you ain't going in the land. And you know what they tried to do? Go in the land. And a bunch of them died. God said to me, I couldn't go in the land. I said, yes, sir, I won't go into that. I'm not going in the land. I'm going to obey what you said. And if I have to do just natural things for this, I'm going to do natural. I'm going to obey. Because why? I don't deserve the best. Let me ask you, did you deserve the best? See, if we're disobedient to the things. You know, God gave Israel 10 strikes till they were out. Have you run off a bunch of them? But there's things like with healing. I've learned this over time. And then get this. This is good wisdom. I've learned over time when I run into things, when I turn around and got the blood clot in my lung, the first thing I wanted to know, have I missed it to cause this to happen? Have I missed it? See, most people, I want to get healed. This is the big thing. Now hold it. If I've missed it, I need to get this straightened out so I can receive my healing. I need to get this thing settled. See, this is why many people don't get healed. They never get things straightened out. It's always just, heal me, heal me, heal me, don't listen to God. No, you learn to lead to listen to God. If something's going on and somebody, I want to know. You get a blood clot in your lung. Lots of times they put you in a casket. I'm still alive. I don't want to do this number again. I want to know if I've missed it, I want to know. And I got a hold of the Lord and the Lord said to me, don't be concerned about this at all. He said, everything's going to be all right. And I'm going to tell you, I had it then. It's mine. I'm so happy. But see, to me, I want to know. I want to please God.
Amen.
See, if I'm staying in faith and something may work. See, because I was over it. I had my faith. I'll tell you what, it was one of the most painful things that's ever through my life. It was pain. I mean, literally, it was like somebody had stabbed me in with something. And it's the bad part about it, it didn't hurt if you quit breathing. But as soon as you sucked air in, oh my God, I mean, it was pain. It was like somebody stabbed you with a knife. I mean, the pain in my chest. I mean, so here I am. I'm like, ooh, trying not to breathe. It's like, it's terrible. This is going on. This is happening. For a while, I went and brought it under control with my faith. But after a while, I couldn't hold it anymore. I just couldn't. And I said this to the Lord. I said, Lord, what's going on here? What's happening? What should I do? I said, I've gone as far as I said my faith on it. He said, you know what to do. And I thought, yeah, I better go in the hospital with this thing. See, he wanted me to do something. And I went in. You know, it's number one. See, we're moving in a direction. See, but I want to find out one thing. See, I had this in me. I was thought about this all the time. Have I done something that caused this to happen? I want to know this. See, it's going to hinder your faith. If you've done something that causes something up, you got to shut that door if you want to. Correct. People never do. They do all kind of dumb, crazy things. They want God to deliver them, but they don't want to shut in the doors to let the devil will bring it right back on them again.
Amen.
Most people who get healed get back on them the same thing they got healed from. That's good wisdom stuff. This is good. No, I want to learn how to cut closed doors.
Amen.
You know what? Everybody knows how to leave them open. I've done that. But see, find out. Find out. Make sure. You want to have doors closed on things. You want to make sure that you do. Hallelujah. Thank God He sustained me once I understood where I was at. I wasn't, you know, because you know what? I just decided I was doing that. I don't want to do this thing again. My God, I don't want to do this thing again. Dear Lord, this ain't no fun at all. So I want you guys to get a hold of this. You know, this wasn't my message this morning, but it became my message this morning. But see, there's things, and I think it triggered because, you know, of their standing. If you look, you're going to have opposition.
Amen.
And if you're not going to have opposition, there probably wasn't any faith involved. Because the devil, number one, he wants to stop. If he can halt Christians from believing God in the earth and trusting God, then he basically reigns and rules. That's where it's at. People who really believe God's in control, the devil basically controls their life. God loves to do stuff and he'll try to do stuff for it. But basically, they're going to operate in life just like the world does and things. They might have good moral things. They don't do bad things that will cause certain things in their life, which is nice. I mean, that is good. But in many things, they're going to have to do it just like the world does. They're going to have to do it. You know, they're not going to, you're not going to see a bunch of the supernatural or anything like that. You're not going to see those kinds of things. And so I just encourage you in these things is we're in this day and time. We're in the days God desires to bring miracles. But he can't with the church on such a low level of faith operation. The more we use our faith, the more he has the opportunity to demonstrate himself. He cannot go exceedingly above and beyond nothing.
Amen.
He can't do that. He must have something. And you know what? I will just tell you this. He always likes to go above and beyond.
Amen.
I don't care if your faith's little. He wasn't so much, in fact. Had me, he told me, and he told me what to do. Believe for $20,000, he told me to do it, believe for $20,000, and $186,000 showed up. That's a little bit of exceedingly abundantly above. And this is what he told me. He said this to me. He said, I said, well, what about you told me to do this thing? He said, we don't have time to mess around with this stuff. Time's running out. Time's running out on your life. I don't care if Jesus ain't coming out. Time's running out on your life.
Amen.
And you either get in on this thing now, or you may never get in on it. The longer you put it off to get in, you're going to find the harder it is to get in.
Amen.
It's like people, when you're young, you know, you can go out and do all kinds of things and it don't hurt you no more. You get older and it's this thing, things come. You need to learn how to protect your health and protect your body when you're young. You need to understand this faith thing. Because when you get older, when you come down to the time and you haven't prepared yourself, you haven't been walking into it, you'll basically just have what everybody else. You'll have, like the Lord spoke to me, a person, I stood with him, faith person, baptized the Holy Ghost, everything else, in an ICU, and the Spirit of God speaks to me and says, they can only have what the doctor can give. So I can pray and do whatever I want. They can only have. Why? They know and they haven't been doing. They haven't been walking in the light. Now you run into big trouble. You just don't all of a sudden kickstart this thing. It ain't like a car out of gas and we're just going to try to get this thing back. You're talking about seeds planted at heart. We're talking about things that people know and don't walk in.
Amen.
Eventually their spirit won't even talk to them about it anymore. People don't realize these things happen. Don't let this stuff happen to you. What your heart talks to you, you keep it alive in you. What your heart's in saying to you, you keep alive in you. You don't ignore it. If you ignore it, you're in trouble. Because eventually, you'll never remember it, and your spirit will never bring it up to you again. And you can't operate in faith in anything that ain't out of your spirit.
Amen.
Your spirit can get to the place it wants to ignore you. It ain't God. Don't blame it on God. It's your own spirit. Your human spirit is light and life. The Holy Ghost is in there, and His whole thing is to bring that light and that life to your mind, to enlighten you to walk in this glory. Hallelujah. We want the will of God that's in heaven brought down to here. We want it showing up down here. We want it manifesting down here. It is nothing. You know, in really, if you take from a scriptural standpoint, that ain't no big deal happened to Mike and him. That's the norm. That's the norm of spiritual. That's the norm of being spiritual. That's the norm. That's nothing. Woo, he done something. That's normal. Amen. That's normal faith stuff. Miracles are normal in the Spirit. They're nothing special. We get all... the church gets out of... The world should be marveling. We should be, well, that, yeah, so what? That, yeah, we see that. Well, it'll happen some more. Watch.
Amen.
This is where we're at, folks. The norm. The spirit realm. God's realm is the norm is miraculous. That's the normal.
So
one of the books back there is called The Unlimited Realm. That's what it is. The unlimited realm. That's our realm. That's the norm. The unlimited realm's our realm.
That's right. Amen.
Well, ain't it amazing? They believed God and it showed up. Ooh, could you ever think that ever happened? My God. You know what? Ain't they crazy? They just acted normal.
Amen.
See, they had biblical mental health.
Amen.
That's what they did.
Amen.
They really did.
Amen.
They had biblical mental health. They just followed what's in the Spirit. That, you know, but I know Mike and Darlene, that's the norm for them. That's not unusual in their life that they do this. It's not unusual in my life that I use faith. That's the norm.
Amen. Amen.
What is unusual in most of the body of Christ, it's unusual that people use faith. It becomes unusual.
Amen.
It's not the norm. See, because this isn't the first time they've done anything like this. This is not the first, this is not their first rodeo. They're just telling you how good God is and what He's doing right now.
Amen.
Encouraging you to live in this place.
Amen.
Miracles need to be normal with us.
Amen.
They need to come to that place. And by the way, they expect, God wouldn't do a miracle for me? To me, that's unthinkable. That is unthinkable to me that God would not do a miracle for it. Unthinkable. Hallelujah. Let's close. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. God, you spoke a lot of things to us and we needed a lot of things saying. I want to thank you, Lord God, for correcting me. I want to thank you, Lord God, for speaking things. Hallelujah. Lining things up. Hallelujah. That we can see. Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord, you know the saying we make here in this earth, we talk about getting our ducks in a row. You got our faith in a row. You got things lined up for us. And I just want to thank you. Father God, Father, I just expect great and mighty things. Hallelujah. Father God, I can say this and know it by my heart, that miracles and signs and wonders will become the norm.
Amen.
That men and women will see will just become normal everyday things. Lord, I've seen in time periods, Lord God, things were like that. But Lord God, that's coming back and more. On top of it, much, much more, exceedingly abundantly above what we can imagine or think, according to the power that's working in us. And I want to thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord, our expectations are big in these things. You're doing miraculous and we're stepping into it in the name of Jesus. Father, Lord God, I thank you for giving us the knowledge of your word and giving us wisdom to apply it, to do it. Lord, I thank you for the testimony this morning. Lord God, of applied a knowledge and applied wisdom to fulfill your will and you bless their lives. And Lord God, I want to thank you. They're not special. You are. Hallelujah. Because your word works for everybody. Hallelujah. It'll work for anybody that'll stand on it and do it. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Lord God. Lord, their testimony, they overcome and will overcome too. Hallelujah. Just as you bless them, Lord, maybe some of the healing realm or whatever it might be. It's the same principles. It's the same faith. It's the same walk. And I just thank you, Lord God, we all can have it in the name of Jesus. And so we just thank you, Father. Father, what we want to do most is glorify you today. Because without you, this system don't work. Without you, their spirit realms are nothing. It wouldn't matter what it is. But Lord God, it's your realm. It's the place. You're the God of glory. And Lord God, you came down in this earth and you reach down to us, Lord God, rebellious mankind who had turned its back on you. Lord God, all that we were, and you didn't slap us down, you raised us up. You sent your Son down here. Lord God, you are incredible. Seated us in heavenly places with you. Gave us your own righteousness. You're phenomenal and incredible. Hallelujah. And Lord God, your word is incredible. It's true and it'll do exactly what it says. And we thank you, Lord God, that you and your word are one. And Father, I just believe this. I believe that anything that I ask in Jesus' name, you'll do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That the Son is glorified and magnified in this earth. And we sure do want to raise Jesus up. We would be nowhere without Him. Hallelujah. And we just thank you, Father God. Father, anything we've accomplished, any wisdom that I know, any knowledge I have of the Word, any wisdom I have to walk in it, Lord God, it came from above and not from down here. Hallelujah. But it's from above. And I just want to say thank you for being so kind to me. Hallelujah. Lord, to take a person who's totally ignorant and give your wisdom, heaven's wisdom. That's a phenomenal thing. Lord God, Lord, that you gave us the words of heaven. Hallelujah. That we can walk in heaven here. And I want to thank you, Lord God. Lord, we're setting a course. We're going to live a more heavenly life. We're going to have a life that's more glorious, Lord God, of your will done in the earth like it is in heaven. Lord God, in the middle of the turmoil of all of this, we're going to be at peace and rest. Our God will care for us and look after us. We're not going to worry or fear. We're not going to put pressure on our government leaders to take care of our life and do everything that makes us comfortable. Hallelujah. Lord God, they're not in charge of my wealth. You are. They're not in charge of my health. You are. My life. You're in charge of it. Hallelujah. Because I'm yielding it to you today in the name of Jesus. We're going to live your life. Hallelujah. We're going to do the best. Live in heaven's best. And we thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I preach me happy. Amen. Glory to God.